Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word this Pentecost Sunday is our gospel lesson, John, chapter 16, beginning at the fifth verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, Today is the day of Pentecost, in which we thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We see that by our red altar coverings or paraments. We see that by the dove of the Holy Spirit there and up here. We see that by how we began our service today. We began in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The same words spoken over us when we were baptized. We thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it is right to thank the Lord for that because think about it for a moment. What would happen without the Holy Spirit? The simple answer to that question is nothing. I mean, God the Father could create you. He could give you earthly life. He could meet your earthly needs. But in the end, it wouldn't amount to anything. And God the Son could save you. He could give his life in place of yours. He could shed his blood to pardon your sin. But it wouldn't profit you anything. Not without the Holy Spirit and not without his work. Now, when we think about God's Holy Spirit and his work, we are probably inclined to think of the book of Galatians. That may be a starting point for us, where it talks about the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. And we read there where it says, the fruits of God's Holy Spirit in a person's life are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Never forget that one. Self-control. Now, if the Holy Spirit didn't shuffle those into the deck, if he hadn't done that in our congregation here of St. Peter, we wouldn't be here today. We would have been left to be ruled by ourselves, which would have been a mess, and this congregation would long ago have exploded in conflict and hatred and misery. And finally disappeared. So we thank God. Thank God that he restrains our sinful natures and that he plants new and different things in us, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Well, you may also think of the Holy Spirit and his work in terms of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible speaks about those too. It says that the Holy Spirit gives people gifts of administration. Don't ever underestimate that one. Gifts of discernment, gifts of helping, gifts of generous giving, of teaching, of preaching God's word, of heroic faith, of wisdom, of knowledge. And it is true, once again, if God's Holy Spirit did not shuffle those into the deck of this congregation of ours, of St. Peter congregation, and if he didn't do it in good measure, we could work ourselves into an early grave trying to promote God's kingdom, and nothing would come of it. Nothing would happen. And yet you look around you and you see brothers and sisters in the faith, and you can look or think back over the years how many people have come to faith in Christ through the work of this congregation. I can think about our Christian faith class and seeing new members eager to hear about God's holy word, getting their eyes opened by his power. And why would you think you would have to go to some other church to see God at work? Why would you? Because I can tell you just from experience, seeing the ins and outs of what has happened over the years, of God doing miracles all the time. All of the time. So many I should have written them down. It would have been a thick book by now. And you can say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for working right here and right now. the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, the gifts of God's Holy Spirit, and it all leads up to one thing that is beyond all of them, beyond the fruits of the Spirit, beyond the gifts of the Spirit. What does God's Holy Spirit do? It's basic catechism class. What's his chief work? His chief work is to give you faith in Jesus. And not only that, to preserve that faith to eternal life. Today's gospel lesson, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will take what is mine and he will give it to you. And so, without God's Holy Spirit, you could live a million lifetimes, and you could spend every day of those million lifetimes sitting in church, and you would not be saved. Without God's Holy Spirit, the Son of God could shed oceans of his blood for you, and you would not be saved, because there would be no faith there to take hold of it, no being preserved in that faith. And that's why we don't deny baptism to the little ones, to infants, because faith is not a cognitive process that you get by your own power or your own choice or your own study. It's entirely a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit that he distributes through holy baptism entirely by his power to whomever he pleases, and age is no barrier. His chief work is to give faith and to preserve faith. And you really have to have both of those. Because you judge a race how? By how it begins or by how it ends? You judge it by how it ends. It's good to start in Christ. That's a wonderful thing. But you want to end in Jesus Christ as well, too. And there's all sorts of things that work in our world that are trying very hard to make sure that you don't end the race in Jesus Christ. There is the world, there's your sinful nature, and there is the evil one and his work. We saw the world earlier, or you do see the world earlier in John chapter 16, today's gospel chapter. Jesus said, I have spoken these things to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. People will make you outcasts from the synagogue. An hour is coming when anyone who kills you will think that they are offering a service to God. What do you do with that kind of opposition? How do you handle it? Matthew chapter 24, you got your own sinful nature. Jesus said, many will fall away. Many people will betray one another and hate one another. False prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of lawlessness increased, the love of many will grow cold. How do you fight against your own self? And then there is the devil. In the Old Testament, the devil is called Ha-Satan, the Satan, the Satan. In the New Testament, he is called Diabolos, or diabolical. Same difference, same meaning, same word, just in different languages. We'll do that for the day of Pentecost here. Slanderer. Accuser, that's what Satan means. That's what Diabolos means, slanderer or accuser. Or you could take it this way, prosecuting attorney. And when you have a prosecuting attorney, what is their goal? You say justice, yeah, I suppose, but their goal is what? To win their case. Their goal is to be single-minded and get somebody to be punished for a crime. The Bible calls Satan that, because again and again, he brings forward witnesses to tell you that Jesus is not the way and the truth and the life. And so what do? When you got the world pushing against you, when you got your sinful nature being weak, when you have Satan, when you have the diabolical one fighting against you, what do? Well, we know what Jesus' disciples did. In John chapter 16, today's gospel chapter, Jesus said, none of you is asking me where I am going, but because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. In other words, they're getting weighed down because of their troubles. They're getting preoccupied because of what's happening to them. They're getting worried and anxious because the world is falling apart. They don't know what to do with the hostility of the devil in this world. And they have a hard time hearing what Jesus is saying to them. And so he says, all right, everybody pay attention. With everything that is coming your way, what do you need? What do you need? You need a lawyer. Now, our lesson for today says helper, and you could translate it that way. But no, Jesus really says, it's to your advantage that I go away, because when I go away, I will send the lawyer to you. I will send not the helper so much as the lawyer or the counselor. The word, again, to use another language, is parakletos, para alongside, kletos to call. You call him to your side. In modern English, we would say he is your advocate. Again, another language, Latin language, ad means toward, voco means to call. You call him to your side, the same word over and over again. What do you need? You got a prosecuting attorney, so you need an attorney for what? For the defense. And to use the language of the lesson for today, it says he will convict the world. Your lawyer will convict the world. Here in John 16, it means he will cross-examine the world. He will bring evidence to light. He will prove your case. Now the world and Satan will bring out their accusations, and they will do it relentlessly, and they will do it convincingly, but then your attorney, the Holy Spirit, will step forward, and he will bring the true evidence to light. Three things. Number one, concerning sin, because they don't believe in me, the world and the evil one. They don't believe that Christ is the only Savior, and they stand accused of not believing. Point number two, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. This is Old Testament righteousness, which means vindication. The Father vindicates his Son. He takes him to his side and says, you are my Son. You have done my will. Point number three, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Satan has been found before God's court to be in perjury. He is found in contempt, and he will be thrown out of the court, and he will be thrown into the lake of fire. Because the truth is that Jesus has taken your sin. He has taken your sin, and Satan has no hold over you. He has no case, nothing to present, nothing that can hold water. Now, he can make a lot of arguments. He can make a lot of speeches. He can make a lot of false evidence come forward. Martin Luther wrote about it in the old hymn, A Mighty Fortress. Do you remember the words? This world's prince, that's Satan, he may still scowl, fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. And what's the little word? Well, it's a little word, but it's the biggest word ever spoken, the biggest promise ever spoken. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Yes, devil, you're right. Bring forth your charges. I am the foremost sinner. But I am still saved in the blood and in the perfect life of Jesus. And if you can say that, then you've said what you need to say. Even if nothing else in this life comes your way, you still have the Father who gave you life. You still have the Son who gave you eternal life. You still have the Holy Spirit who gives you faith. You still have the Holy Spirit who preserves your faith. You still have the Holy Spirit who will guide you into all truth. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.